Hello, listener. It's Tom St. John from The Manufacturer. You're listening to an episode of The Manufacturer Archives. Archives is a podcast where we put interviews out in full. You may have already heard or watched bits of them from the main podcast or from one of our videos. You also may have read part of them on the Manufacturer website or in the Manufacturer magazine. Some people want to hear these in full, so for our most interesting interviews, we're more than happy to oblige. So sit back and enjoy. This one features Asif Mogul of Autodesk. Here he is speaking to our editor Joe Bush about digital adoption, why it doesn't need to be difficult, and how it all starts with five digital superpowers. This was first heard at day one of the 2023 Manufacturing Leaders Summit in Liverpool.
As a sort of a starting point, I see, for like a scene setter, can you, to kick us off, can you explain a little more about Autodesk and your role there?
Yeah, sure. So Autodesk, we're a global software company, and we've got a mission to like empower innovators all over the world with design and make technology so they can achieve the new possible. And so we do that in multiple industries like architecture, engineering, construction, media and entertainment, and then of course the industry that I'm responsible, which is what we call product design and manufacturing. So we provide software technologies to help professionals in those industries kind of innovate and design and make literally anything.
Okay, right. So with that perspective across different industries, what is the kind of the landscape looking like in manufacturing at the moment, and the appetite for those emerging digital technologies when compared to perhaps other sectors?
So I think if we sort of step back, I suppose pre-pandemic, unfortunately all conversations around manufacturing, the word pandemic is brought up, isn't it? But up until the pandemic, I would say that the kind of the challenges around manufacturing were pretty well known. Now, we did research with about sort of 800 D&M design and manufacturing is what we call D&M, 800 companies in the sector, and we kind of kept asking them what's the reason you're not adopting digital more aggressively, and the key things that came out were, look, I'm an SME. Don't have the time. I think there was potentially a lack of understanding of the potential return they could get from a digital investment, and of course the skills issue kept coming up. So those were sort of the three things that were sort of put up as these are the barriers to adoption for us at the moment. Now, if I fast forward to today, skills is definitely an issue, as is time, but we can't really do anything about time. But the other key challenge is, and this is what I spoke about at the leaders conference, is it's kind of how digital is being positioned to these companies, and they see it as like it's a buzzword, it's a buzzword bingo, it's like lots of jargon that's being put out. You know, I'm being bombarded with technological jargon when really what I have is business issues. And I think in the manufacturing sector, there's a massive demand and appetite for digital technologies, and I think it's got probably the industry that's got the most to gain from digital adoption. So I think the appetite is there. I think that people are hungry to do it. I think the leaders in these kind of manufacturing companies know they want to digitize and need to digitize. But as I mentioned again in my talk at Leaders Summit, they need help. They need someone to partner with to help them figure out where should I start. And that's really a big part of my role at Autodesk, is leading this sort of market and industry development team. My role is to engage with industry, so that means customers, associations, people like yourselves, right? Mm-hmm. And we make sure we understand the challenges that the sector faces and ensure that we're part of the solution. And part of the solution means simplifying what digital could mean to customers, and then collaborating with everyone in the industry possibly can to drive growth and success. So I'm not sure if that answered your question, Joe.
No, it's great. That's great. Now, but obviously you mentioned there COVID. How, comparing the sector sort of before COVID and after, what has that period done around the appetite for digital adoption? Has it sort of put the brakes on in some instances, and you know, in other examples, has it perhaps sort of helped press the accelerator button when it comes to digital adoption?
Yeah, I think I would say overwhelmingly, from my experience and the people that I speak to, it's put the accelerators on the need for digital adoption, because just a very simple thing that we saw when COVID hit was engineers and designers could no longer go to their physical place of work to work.
Mm.
But then suddenly, through technologies like like Zoom and Teams and all that kind of stuff, cloud-based tools, they were suddenly able to keep doing a big part of what their work was, but remotely at home. And I think that kind of really switched people onto, wow, actually, I could still achieve a lot, even though I'm not physically in my office location. It was slightly different for manufacturers, because there's still a high degree of human involvement in the manufacturing process. So that was slightly different. But I think just that one experience of collaborating digitally, remotely, I believe was the kind of like switching point, which made people think, yeah, you know what, digital really can help. I wonder what else it could do. And I think what we've seen is a huge increase in appetite for digital adoption across the board from manufacturers of all kind of sectors.
Does that apply to manufacturers of all sizes as well? Because obviously, as we know, the vast majority of the UK manufacturing space is made up of SMEs. Are they as keen? Are they as eager? Do they have the same appetite as perhaps some of the larger manufacturers out there to adopt digital?
Yeah, certainly from our experience, I'd say yes. In some cases, I would say probably even more. And I wonder if that's to do with the larger organizations, because of the size and complexity and structure of these larger organizations. I wonder if they're just a little bit slower to respond and react, or they've got more hoops to jump through before a simple project can get off the ground. I think with SMEs, they probably have a little bit more agility on their side. There's less maybe decision gates to go through. So I think that the level of interest is there. I just wonder if they're comparing the two types of sector. SMEs are slightly better placed to be able to react faster. And I think so that's why we're probably interpreting it as like, well, the SMEs are even more keen around digital than maybe some of the larger organizations. It could just be an organizational complexity factor.
Although that kind of appetite is there, is there still sort of barriers to adoption for SMEs, particularly around the fact that, you know, many of them are quite often time and cash poor?
Yeah, so there are, of course, you're going to find that with any kind of like new change. And I think that's already what we're talking about here is was a change management process. And again, sorry to go back to my talk at Liverpool, but I showed that sort of bell curve of distribution, the diffusion of innovation. And you've got a bunch of innovators and early adopters and the early majority. And then you've got the other side of the bell curve. So you're going to find that distribution across any size, any shape, any kind of demographic of the manufacturing sector. But the kind of barriers to adoption tend to be, sometimes they're about budget. Okay, it's definitely sometimes about budget. But what it makes me wonder is, are we starting in the wrong place? So if I speak to a company that's considering buying a brand new CNC machine tool, a brand new robotic assembly line, or kind of hardware automation. And that's a massive capital investment. And then there's often a process to go through. There's often maybe some grant funding to be had to support that. That all takes time. And I think particularly in the SME space, what we're seeing is it's just they just don't have the time that they used to have. And so once you can position alternatives of digital to them, so like digitizing some of their process, digitizing the way they move information from one department to another, going into those superpowers, those are largely software based. They can be implemented much faster at a lower barrier of entry and often give a huge return on investment, which could be the catalyst to drive them onto more of a hardware-based adoption later. So I think that we are seeing barriers to adoption. When I hear those sorts of things, if you look at where that company is trying to start their digital journey, shifting the starting point could help them overcome those barriers in many cases.
Going back to what you mentioned earlier about the fact that many manufacturers are kind of bombarded with buzzwords and jargon when it comes to adopting digital. In terms of where Autodesk position themselves, how do you guys ensure that you're contributing to the solution and not kind of adding to those buzzwords and jargon, if that makes sense? And how are you guys presenting yourselves to offer that clearer, sort of concise solution to help manufacturers see the wood for the trees?
Sure. So, so we're a technology vendor. Okay. There's no escaping that. I mean, there are many, many, many technology vendors out there. But I think one of the things that we've realized through many years of working with many organizations of different sizes and shapes is that these people, they need a kind of a partner who doesn't start with technology. And so, going back to those, the presentation at Liverpool is that our approach is to just put the brakes on the technology and understand the why. Why do you want to invest in digital? What's the problem you're trying to solve? What happens if you solve it? What happens if you do nothing? It's all those real common sense questions that we get taught when we're in an engineering environment. We're applying those to the way we engage with our customers. And so by not automatically saying, hey, you need a PDM or a PLM system, or you need an IoT system or anything like that, we just ask those three questions. Where are you today? Where do you want to be? And what's stopping you getting there?
Mm.
And I think taking the responsibility to structure a conversation around those sort of outcome-focused topics as opposed to technology-focused topics, we have found it's been incredibly helpful for our customers in terms of, okay, I was going to go down a specific route of investing in a certain type of technology. Now what's happened is I feel like I've had a bit of a mirror held up and I can reflect on, why am I doing it? And I think the better place to start would be somewhere else. So I would say it's probably more the way that we engage our customers is the difference that kind of makes the difference. And it hopefully helps our customers or the industry separate technology from outcomes or the wood from the trees.
I see. And in your experience dealing with manufacturers, do you find that in the vast majority of cases, they are starting with technology rather than asking those three very core and key questions to begin with?
Yeah, we would. I mean, again, our experience seems to be, I'm thinking of an IoT strategy, or I'm thinking of an ERP or an MRP system, or I'm thinking of a PDM PLM system, or whatever it is, right? It'll be a technology-based system. And that's where the conversation usually starts. Hey, do you have a PDM PLM system? Do you have an X, Y, or Z? So that just gives me the big clue that the industry perhaps is still focused too much on technology as a starting place, as opposed to those three, the super questions, as I call them.
Indeed. And obviously a key part of the talk at the Leaders Summit was around these five digital transformation superpowers. Can you go into a little bit more detail around those and sort of, explain a bit of detail about what those are and what they can do for manufacturers?
Sure. So number one was mass customization. And that's a superpower because it would allow you to sort of tailor or customize a product or a solution to an individual customer or a segment of your market, but without the traditional cost overhead of additional engineering time, additional sales engineering time, that kind of stuff. So imagine if somebody said to you, I'd buy this mouse, but only if it was a little bit more sculpted to my grip, or it's a certain color or a certain material or a certain weight. Yeah. To offer somebody like a personalized product does cost time and money and cost engineering expertise. Mass customization would be the ability to code in your engineering know-how and knowledge into a process and then give that power to either your engineering team to respond if they're the bottleneck, to your sales team if they want to sit with customers and configure stuff live, or even direct to customers. And the benefit of that through research, and I believe it's McKinsey research, I'd have to check that, but people are prepared to pay up to 20% more for personalized products and wait longer for them. So, I can't help thinking that will be an awesome superpower for a manufacturer to have, the ability to sell at a premium and actually have a bit more time to develop their products. So that's kind of mass customization. It's all about design automation and availability. Then we get to digital collaboration, which is about improving the speed, the quality, and the effectiveness of the way you communicate with your various stakeholders.
Mm-hmm.
That has, improving collaboration has huge benefits right across the business, from morale to productivity to innovation to efficiency. And that really it resolves around being able to collect input to any project or conversation far earlier in the process, again, doing it digitally, and then having the ability to validate that input. So if you said to me, Asif, this mouse that you're developing for me, I want it in solid gold with, a copper button at the bottom, and I want it to be wireless, et cetera, et cetera. I could say yes to you, go and make it to realize it probably wouldn't work. Or I could validate and simulate all of that kind of stuff and say, you know what, Joe, I can get close to what you want, but have you ever considered having it titanium and having the having three buttons instead of two based on what you've told me?
Mm.
So sorting all that out digitally, validating it, and being able to say to you confidently, Joe, I could make this mouse for you exactly to your specification, that is a superpower, and it's quite an important one for the whole sector. So that would be an incredible superpower for more organizations to have. And we do see a lot of poor communication and poor collaboration holding the industry back. So I'd say that's always a brilliant one to start with.
Mm.
Then you've got flexible manufacturing, which is the ability to, no matter what comes in through your front door of your factory or your office, you're able to make design and manufacturing decisions quickly and schedule those to be made in the right way. Whether it's a product that's high volume where cost is an issue, you'd make certain manufacturing decisions. If a product is super low volume, super high value, and cost is not an issue, we'd make completely different manufacturing choices to get that thing made. But the ability to be able to schedule that really quickly and say, I'm going to use mass production, subtractive manufacturing processes for that, or I'm going to use a hybrid of additive and manufacturing, or I'm going to use completely automated processes, or I'm going to farm this out to my supply chain. Having the ability to flexibly choose your manufacturing process is, again, an incredible superpower, and it drives productivity, efficiency, increased customer satisfaction. Mm-hmm. So an awesome one to have. And I think if you get those three right, you're already into the fourth digital superpower, which is customer experience, which mm-hmm. is to understand beyond price and quality what customers really value and delivering that to them far more effectively. So imagine bringing your customers in and saying, look, if you want this mouse, how would you tailor it to be exactly what you want? Now, if you were my customer and I involved you in that process, your customer experience of me would start to go up. If I collaborated with you on the development of the project, kept you up to date at almost every stage and involved you, your level of experience of me would go up. And then if I could flexibly manufacture it to be just what you wanted in the size, quantity, volume, cost and quality that you wanted, I'd be up at like sort of 3 out of 5 stars. So by getting the first three right, you're already into the fourth. But then you could take customer experience even further by just delivering what they want over the lifetime of your relationship with them. So it's not just about the pre-sales development process or the manufacturing process. It's what happens before they're a customer, what happens when they're a customer, what happens during the life cycle of a customer, and even what happens afterwards. People value delivery time, speed, quality, cost, innovation. There's so many things customers value that I think we're not capturing enough. But if we could capture them and deliver them to our customers through our relationship, the benefit of that is obviously increased customer satisfaction, increased market share, increased win rate. And the very last one is what we call smart services, which is about putting data at the center of your business and using it to develop a range of insight-based value-add services for your internal stakeholders or your internal customers and your external stakeholders or external customers, because customers can be different. And this is really all about not jumping straight to the world of IoT, but building a solid data platform and a foundation in your business and getting used to drawing insight from it Mm-hmm. But the benefits of adopting that approach are things like double-digit growth, business stability, business agility, the ability to pivot and respond much faster based on early warning signs of trends that you see, all based on data, but turning data into actionable information. So there's a bit of a long-winded way of explaining the five, but those are the five superpowers.
No, right.
And then none of them have got anything to do with technology. They're all capabilities that if you could switch on 1, 2, 3, 4 or all five inside a company, that starts the transformation. And in many cases, it leads to the next stage and the next stage and the next stage.
How were these superpowers originally sort of defined and identified? Is it something that's come very much from within Autodesk research?
So remember when I talked earlier about we had a digital readiness evaluation that we kicked off a number of years ago.
And right.
We had about 800 or plus responses to it. The superpowers emerged as a summary of what those customers were telling us.
Right. Okay.
So it's very much from the ground up. What are your challenges? We struggle to do X. We struggle to do Y. We struggle to do Z. And so we took those challenges and sort of, I suppose, validated them with customers, and they form the basis of something that we run called these digital transformation workshops, where we spend a day taking customers through each of the five capabilities and letting them explore what it could mean for them, stopping them doing it, that kind of stuff. So very much from the ground up, those capabilities were developed.
And what tends to be the response from manufacturers when you sort of talk to them about these superpowers and you present them to them? Is it very much as one of sort of, you know, as if a light bulb's been turned on in many cases?
That could be definitely one of the outcomes. Now, if you're in a situation where you're dealing with several individuals in a company, they're all going to have a different view.
Mm.
So if I'm in the design and engineering department, I'm going to say the production team is the problem. If I'm in the production department, I'll say the design team is a problem. Both of those teams will probably say sales and marketing is a problem, and finance and procurement. Mm-hmm. So everybody's got a kind of different perspective. And so what we see is sometimes, as we heard in the conference, the highest paid person in the room, what was that, the term, the motivation?
Oh, the hippo.
Yeah.
Was it sometimes individual's personal opinion or something? Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So sometimes that can dominate the agenda. But when you take people through a process like this, you put on the table the disagreements. Yeah. And people might have a very strong opinion that we want to start with. I can't say the name of the company, but I think last year we engaged with an organization who kind of specializes in the metal additive sector, and their transformation journey, they came to us and they said, we want to start with taking our additive manufacturing up to the next level. We went through the process with them, and as a result, they came to the conclusion that focusing on digital collaboration would have a better impact on their business than their initial strategy around an additive manufacturing kind of capability.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an example where the light bulb moment came on, but it took a little bit of time to get there because there were lots of disagreements to kind of fix, sort of sort out. But that's not a bad thing. I think getting everybody on the same page is part of making a transformation project successful. Mm-hmm. It's not always about one person's idea. It's about everyone getting them on the same page. So sometimes light bulb moment comes on. We have those light bulb moments. Sometimes we have moments where people say, I finally see how all these things now tie together. Sometimes people just literally don't agree. And then, you know, we just sort of say, okay, that's fine. Because not everybody is going to agree with everything that everyone else says all the time.
Sure.
But our goal and our mission is to really keep helping industry take one step at a time towards their kind of digital future. And so we have a process that we take people through, and largely it's been very positive.
Yeah, I suppose it could vary very much from company to company, but how far off do manufacturers tend to be in terms of reaping the benefits of these superpowers? I mean, in a lot of cases, would it involve mass change, or can a lot of them be implemented relatively quickly and relatively easily?
I think that digital adoption in terms of like technology, like point solutions like CAD and CAM and PDM and PLM, ERP, MRP, I think the industry is pretty mature in terms of its adoption of those point solutions. So that's a great starting point. Sometimes it's just the ability to connect those solutions in a new way or a unique way, and getting teams to collaborate is one of the areas that we see as a potential game changer. So the barrier to entry isn't as high as people might think. The barrier to entry is always around getting people to collaborate and sort of almost like do a 360 view of the business. So I think the superpowers can very easily be implemented. But the flip side of that is it does mean change is going to happen. And change is always the barrier that you know, it's always weird as a technology vendor to talk about change management of people and processes. But where we've seen examples where the organizations brought their people along, the change happens quickly. The bringing them along and getting to the same page might take them a bit longer. But when they come to execute, the execution is always smoother. So it's a bit of a double-edged sword. Change can happen quickly, but unless your people are ready and they're bought in and they're clearly aligned in terms of what the goal of the company is, then even the simplest of transformations, you know, could potentially fail. So it just shows how important the people are in the whole process.
Yeah, well, that leads me on to my next question, actually, Steve. I think you touched on it in your keynote, and it was a kind of a running theme throughout the conversations over the 2 days, and is a regular theme of any conversations we have with manufacturers, actually, is that so often the topic comes back to people. So what would be your top tips on ensuring that manufacturers can bring their people along for the ride, if you like, on their digital transformation journeys?
I think in a nutshell is to involve them much sooner. Again, one of the best transformations I've seen, I'm not at liberty to sort of give the name of the company because we don't have their permission, but before they even invested in a single piece of new technology, they spent several months just having open kind of discussions with all of their staff. It doesn't matter whether you swept the driveways or you're the MD or you answered the telephones. They brought everybody together and sort of said to them, we want to become a digital company. We don't honestly know what that fully means, but I think between us all, we could discuss it and explore it and define what that means. So everybody gets something out of it. And that's a great example of bringing your people along. So they have their meetings, they have their workshops, they had all these kind of like bits of feedback. Some people were like really wildly up for it. Some people were really, you know, scared about it. And of course, there are always going to be people that just kind of don't want to come along on that journey. But having the management and know who's pro, who's kind of like reluctant, who's scared, it allowed them to involve their people much earlier. And when it came to, okay, well, what's the next step? Now we've defined digital, what's the next step? Who would like to be part of the team that brings this forward? And so they naturally had people putting their names forward saying, oh, I think I could drive it. And those people come from anywhere in the organization. They don't have to be digitally savvy. They don't have to be the best engineers. They don't have to be the best innovators. They seem to be very skilled at just driving change. So I think if anyone wants to really bring their people along, involve them far earlier, get them around the table and have those three super questions, discussions with them. Where are we today? Where do we want to be? What's stopping us getting there? And then just keep your people involved. That increases the chance of a transformation being incredibly successful. And then from a leadership point of view, empower them. Just empower them to go out there and get this stuff done. Sort of almost like set them free to perform.
Indeed. And just finally, Asif, in terms of the future of digital within manufacturing, how do you see the landscape, you know, moving forward and evolving over time? Obviously, we've had, you know, quite a busy week. There's been the manufacturing action plan launched today. There was a commitment for a whole chunk of new funding for the sector last week. So, you know, it's been quite a newsy week for manufacturing. But how do you see the future of digital within the sector evolving as time goes on?
Well, I mean, it feels like the sort of stars are aligning, don't they? We've had some great bits, and we've had a great conference. The topic of AI and skills was talked about there quite a lot. I think that's got a role to play in it. But again, technology on its own isn't going to achieve much. What we need is that infrastructure around the sector to allow it to perform. And I think the recent announcements are a clear signal that the UK wants to take the industry seriously. So I think for that reason as well, I see the future is pretty positive. We've got great companies in the UK doing some really amazing world-beating things. We've got great people that they employ. We've got great technology. And now we've got a clear message that manufacturing is a sector we want to invest in. So I think you put all those things together, and knowing the people that I know in the sector, we'll make the absolute best of it. So I would say the outlook is incredibly positive, and it's quite an exciting one if you think about it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Asif, that's great. I don't have any further questions.
Okay, great. Thanks ever so much, Joe.
Yeah, thank you, Asif. I'll just...